Hey, only two sleeps until the stake. And we're very excited about it. Victoria versus the All Stars bushfire relief game. Great cause. Lee Matthews is going to present the big V jumpers, I see.
I see that.
Have you got a role?
No, well, I'm not presenting anything, and I'm not at liberty to talk about any role that I may have or may not
have. So you have got a role, but you're not
I'm not confirming or denying anything at this stage, Gary. I've signed a confidentiality agreement.
When you confirm or deny?
As have you signed a confidentiality agreement, so you can't talk about it until after the game either.
Our next guest was a super player, Wisp. He was a star, any way you looked at it, in that uber-talented Hawthorn era. He absolutely held his own and stood out sometimes as a half-forward flanker of rare quality, and then when it came to state football, just took it to another level as well.
Gary, fourth in the Brownlow in his first season here in Melbourne playing for Hawthorn.
I wasn't aware of that. His name is Tony Hall, and he's been good enough to join us. Hawley, welcome.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're going really well, mate. We're excited about this small sample of state footy that we're getting back in a couple of days' time, and when we're running through names we're talking about, one of the great problems is that people start to worry about their stars getting injured, and I guess of all the great things you've done in your footy, that knee injury at the MCG is front of mind, so I guess we want to have a bit of a chat about that and a few other things. Is that how often
I was going to say, Gary, I think the last time I was on radio was about 2008, which I think might have been the last one.
Well, you had much more to your footy
so
career.
I'll become an expert on knees in State of Origin, so that's okay.
No, well, you did much more than that, and we will celebrate it, but it was a massive moment. It was a huge game at the MCG, and I don't want to take you back because it's probably a painful memory, but you did get back and play in premierships after it, so it wasn't the end of your footy career.
No. Look, it was a pretty big injury at the time, but it was one of those injuries that sort of, I think, shape you a little bit. I've sort of grown from it, and even today I think it's helped me do the things I do today. So I just sort of think sometimes those sort of injuries really help you actually develop as a person. So it was a really bad thing at the time, I've sort of always thought of it as something that's helped me. So, it's an interesting way to look at it, I guess.
Hey, Hooley, it was a boggy MCG track. There was hardly any grass on the MCG back in that year. And it was Andy Collins that tackled you, obviously, who was a teammate of yours as well. What clarity do you remember the actual incident itself with?
I remember it pretty clearly. It was probably the worst, the worst I've ever seen the MCG at the time. Really, really boggy, and I picked the ball up around about the sort of half forward mark, and was sort of running pretty much straight into an open goal. And I guess with my sheer pace, I thought I could pull away from Colo, but Colo's I think he averaged 10 tackles a game while he was at Hawthorn. He was an incredible tackler, and he was always really passionate, never gave up, and so I think I was easy pickings for him, and I can remember being pulled down into the mud and going over the top of my leg, and it was not a great time.
You did your PCL, you did your lateral and your anterior cruciate. I mean that's the big Mac, the daddy of them all. Do you sit back and I don't know if that happened today with the ground in that condition, there would be ramifications everywhere. Did you sort of hold out a bit of angst about the way that ground was presented?
Yeah, I've still got a lawsuit going through, Gary. Can't really talk about it.
I don't know if you're joking or not. That's what would happen today.
I'm only kidding. No, look, it's just one of those things that, happen in footy, and, it was just an unfortunate incident. Today, with the grounds they are today, you probably wouldn't see it. But we're getting different injuries, I guess, because of the perfect grounds and the speed of the game.
Andy Collins was shattered though by what took place, wasn't he?
Yeah, Collins a great mate, and like I said, a really passionate guy. He was actually the first guy to see me in hospital, and he was just absolutely shattered after the game. So, but it's one of those things, we play state footy, you're always playing against your teammates. That's the way state footy is.
Did you ever think that you were as complete again when you played the game? We know that you went on and you came back and you played great footy again, played in another flag for Hawthorn after that. But did you ever think that there was something missing beyond that?
Yeah, I probably wasn't jumping as I did prior to the injury. It was really hard when you get the PCL goes. It actually makes your leg fall backwards when you go to jump. So probably didn't jump as high and sort of had to change the game a little bit and be a bit stronger around the ground.
You still got back and kicked miraculous goals at Footy Park. I mean, we talk about Eddie Betts's pocket. We had the Tony Hall pocket there at Footy Park. It's still out there?
I think they pulled it down earlier this year, I think, or later last year. I think it's a real estate piece of land there.
the Tony Hall block of land. Those South Australian teams that you played in, I mean, to go back, and get together with McGuinness and McDermott and all those greats, Bradley. And I mean, what was that like? And I guess that's what these guys are going to, well, more so Victoria. We know the All-Stars is a bit contrived for this occasion and we accept that. But what can the Victorian boys, see, for the first time, they're going to get in the room and have this same feeling that you and others were able to enjoy?
And I'm not sure if the times have changed or whatever, but there really was a pride and felt like a real privilege to represent South Australia back in those times, and it was sort of led. I think it was led through the rivalry of the borders, Victoria South Australian border, and the fact that SA players were going over to Victoria to play, and coming back together was this sort of real proud thing to come back and play for South Australia back then. And I guess it was fired up as well by a couple of key icons, Teddy Whitten and Neil Curley, who really, really sort of stirred up the culture of rivalry, which, that's what I think sort of underpinned it all. But I just remember growing up as a kid, watching it in the 70s and 80s, and just seeing it as the pinnacle of achievement in the sport back then, so for South Australia, playing in the SANFL, that was the thing. You just wanted to play in state footy, and it was just a great moment to play in a game that was probably a high level of performance that it was.
Well, it sounds like an arrogant thing to say, but as young Victorians growing up, we all felt if we were good enough to play for Victoria one day, we were representing the Big V, which was the greatest jumper that you could represent in the country. As a young South Australian, how did you view all that, and how did you view the Big V as you were coming through the ranks?
I think it was exactly the rivalry. I mean, I remember playing underage state footy, and it just seemed like the Big V jumper was actually made the players bigger than they were. It was sort of an incredible thing when you used to see the white shorts and the Big V jumper when you're playing them. Even as kids, it just felt like they were bigger and stronger and whatever. So it just created that sort of, that real, rivalry and want to win. And competition. So I do believe it was an arrogant thing for the V, but it really did create the culture and the Guernsey helped, I reckon.
Yeah, and that perception would have been consolidated when you got to Hawthorn and saw the shrinking violets like Dermot and Dipper, who represented Victoria. You would have sat there and looked at those blokes and thought, yeah, everything I thought about them is right.
they're incredible. And I actually saw Dipper just the other week. He's a great guy.
He hasn't calmed down much, has he, over the years?
No, he's still got going 100 miles an hour.
Hey, the other thing, Tony, in that game, we're talking to Tony Hall, who injured his knee in 1989, but was one of the superstars of the AFL and with Hawthorn, played in two premierships. Gary actually played on you that day back in 1989. I've had a look at I just went back and had a look at the vision. He wasn't within 50 metres of you when you got run down by Colo. What sort of a player was he, Gary? He clearly wasn't a close-checking type defender.
No, he was very loose, selfish. I think it might have just been my sheer foot speed.
athleticism, Woolley, it was. It was a very attacking game back in those days, Whiff. You didn't really have to pay too much attention. But, hey, just a quick one, and we won't hold you up for too long. You played for Adelaide. You went over and then played for the Crows, of course. And can you recount that story for some of our listeners about the fact that you parked your car out at Footy Park and you hadn't got round to changing your registration plates?
No, it was a pre-season game. So it must have been sort of February. And I still hadn't changed my plates from Vic. And I was parked in the players area and someone decided to, after the game, run their coins and stuff and keys down the side of my car pretty badly. So I was lucky we had a good panel beater at the Crows. So they fixed it up for me.
And when you think back on those Hawthorn days, before we let you go, and you were coached by the great late Alan Jeans, what is it that you think of when you think of those days and you think of Jeansy? What stands out in your mind?
I just felt like a really nice time to play footy, I guess. I actually was just driving down Linda Crescent the other day in Melbourne and was going past the old ground and, you know, just had some really great reflections of training out there at Glenferrie Oval, and just felt like a really nice time to play footy. I remember coming from Glenelg, you know, the St. Phil Club, and coming to Hawthorn, it actually felt what similar sort of to Glenelg, and yeah, it was just a great time to play footy. And Genji was just an amazing coach. You know, we had simple program, and we worked really hard, and had some great achievements. So it was a really good time.
One of the greatest teams of any era, I think you'll find. And now you're in down Geelong way, is that right?
Yeah, I'm mixing it up with the Cats now. So I'm living in Torquay and working for GMHBA Health Fund down here. We sponsor the Cats, and so I get a little bit involved with the Cats here and there.
Still riding the bike?
Still surfing and riding the bike, yeah. So as much as I can.
Living the dream, Holly. That's what you're doing. Hey, really good of you to join us this morning. We have been looking forward to it all week, and it's great to have a chat with you. And hopefully having a look on Friday night and the memories aren't too profound.
Thanks, guys.
Tony Hall. Cool. Star. Wispy. Star. Mm. In that era, in that Hawthorn team, I said this a lot, the Victorian State of Origin back line was Andy Collins, Chris Langford, Gary Ayres,
Chris Mew,
Ray Jenke, and sometimes... Yeah, you know, it was five of six Hawthorn defenders. That's how good they were. And then up the other end was Brereton. Dunstall was playing in any state game. Buckner was in any state team. Platten was in any state team.
They were superstars.
Was an All-Australian team. And then you just slide Tony Hall into that side. Peter Curran was running around. Richard Loveridge was playing for Victoria, running around. That Dipper. I tell you what.
They were extraordinary. They were a great, great team, but they were a great football club as well. And they've continued that on through the modern era too under Al Clarkson. Who picked you up from that group, that defensive group? Did you get Langford or did you get Mew?
No. Scott McGuinness a bit.
They went to the third?
Ray
Jenke. Defender to play on you.
It's a bit mobile for those other ones. I don't know why I said that. I shouldn't have said it. Watch the abuse come now. We'll take a break. Tim's got me. He got me. Fair enough. We'll have a break.